Welcome to the Drive Phase Podcast, the best podcast for information on issues surrounding sports business in the Caribbean. On the Drive Phase, we have discussions with sport administrators, coaches, athletes, and various stakeholders in the sporting industry and examine their contribution to sports and entrepreneurship. Here's your host, Dalton Myers.
Thanks as always, Colleen. In this episode, we look at athletes and their financial future with Randy Rowe. So Randy is a self-taught equity investor and strategic consultant. These days, he works as a business consultant. He also manages his personal private equity fund. I think I'm going to try and do that also. And also, he runs an online financial literacy business, everymickle.com. I got that right, right?
You got it perfectly.
Okay, which he founded in 2012 as a simple blog. Also, he has his own podcast, and we'll talk about that a bit more. Randy, welcome.
Thank you very much, Dalton. Happy to be here.
Listen, how's the podcast going?
It's going well. It's going surprisingly well. It's one of those things that, you know, you start, you never expect it to run as it run, and it just keeps going well.
Yeah, and on your social media platform, especially Twitter, you get a lot of persons having discussions with you, either about that or just other financial, you know, consultancy advice.
Yeah, there's always, people care about money. Everybody cares about money. So once people care about money, they tend to talk about it. And then because the blog and the podcast and everything is positioned to make it simple, to make the regular man on the street understand it, then what happens is that the things that I think people might be afraid to ask them broke or them friend or whatever, them ask me or them send it or whatever, they listen to it and they learn. So it's more regular people than anything else.
Well, I guess I need to come and ask you some questions myself, because, you know, I ask my broker questions, but it seems like you have the answer for a lot of things. But let me just ask you something.
Trouble.
The first thing is that on your blog and also in some of your show notes, etc., you say that you're not a financial advisor.
That's right. I am not a licensed financial advisor.
All right, so describe for my listeners what exactly you do.
You hit nail on the head there. But let me say it, because you hear you reading it and it sounded very bossy. in essence, essentially, I invest. That's what I do. I invest. No, I don't have a 9-to-5. I do have clients, at corporate clients, and I have non-corporate clients that I have specific things. So every single one of them has me under an NDA. So I'm very careful about what I can and can't say. But it's companies that lots of people know, and then companies that some people don't know. That's what I do in terms of my consultancy, and I describe it as having sense. Sometimes, literally, you come into a company, and maybe they're too close to the problem to see it, and I'm the guy who comes in and goes, listen, you have all of the things that you need already here. Maybe you just need to put things this way to fix it, or maybe you need to bring in this new thing, or have you considered this solution?
Yeah.
I've been deliberately vague because I don't want to touch any specific company.
Man.
But yeah, essentially I come in and I try to sensible solutions, and the consultancy business, you know, you got people unemployed and call themselves consultants. Yeah, it's that kind of space that is in often. So I am very careful to, I don't push the words consultancy much. Yeah. I don't say it much, and I stand on my track record.
Yeah. Well, if you're a consultant, you're a consultant. Don't worry about it. Let me ask you, though. My listeners may or may not know. So you used to do a 9-to-5.
I used to do a 9-to-5.
What we call the 9-to-5. And then you decided to really go on your own. Without going into specific details, why? Why this move, you know, from the 9-to-5 to kind of going on your own and generating income from it?
I mean, I left the 9-to-5 because it's going to sound hairy fairy, but I just literally wasn't happy doing it anymore. Literally, it was a great place, a great job. I worked for a great company, if I can mention companies on the podcast.
No, you can, man.
I worked for Careers Limited for years. I worked there over 8 years. I started in 2007, and I various different roles and all sorts of places. I learned a lot there, a whole heap of things I never think I'd ever learn in areas. Finance, for example, I went into that place, hitting numbers, and by the time I'd left, still never liked numbers, but I had much more appreciation for it. And I'd always loved business. And that's a place that really got me to see what happens on the inside of a business, especially a well-run business, because Careers isn't a joke company. So, yeah, man, it taught me a lot. So I worked there from 2007 till 2015.
Okay.
Yeah, mid-2015.
Did you know a guy named Andre Price there?
Yeah, man. Sir Price. Still going. Yeah, big up Sir Price. Yeah.
No, that's a friend of mine, but he's like one of the worst friends I've ever had
man.
In
big
life.
Up, yeah, man. No, for your Sir Price, I know what's still, up, man. Big up Sir Price.
he incidentally was hall chair for Chancellor Hall at the University campus, when I was hall chair for Irving Hall.
Yeah.
And at that point, Damian Crawford, Senator Damian Crawford was Guild president, you know, and we were part of a protest movement. And I won't say much more about that, but suffice to say that the gates were closed at a point. All right. So we want to go into a little bit more about your podcast, what you do, etc. What are some of the advice or what are some of the you know, pointers that you give to persons in terms of, you know, investing or financial literacy?
All right. So again, just to be clear, dog, you know, about investing advice.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? No. I'm sure my listeners will pick up that.
They will understand.
I clearly stated already that you're not a licensed financial advisor.
And of course, people always ask why. It's not that I don't know these things, right? I'm not into it. But in Jamaica, you have to be licensed by the FSC.
Correct.
Yeah, and I am not licensed. And also, honestly, I have no great interest in being licensed because I am able to do currently in terms of sharing information with people, which I want, I can do that without a license. And as long as I'm not collecting money to give people proper financial advice like a broker, then I don't have anything to worry about. But I always like people to do it. I don't want people to get the wrong impression. And at the end of the day, I send people to licensed financial advisors at the brokerage houses. That's what I do for the podcast. I mean, the podcast is, as I said before, simplifying finance. Talking is me and our brethren, Danai, you know, one of the best investors I know. I say, it's a sports podcast. I can't be people going to sports and want to be the best. I'm pretty damn good at investing. I am really good at it. The very few people I think are as close in terms of what I do, and that's just in terms of track record. And what I started 10 grand, I tell people that all the time, I started out with 10 grand Jamaican and I turned it into a lot more. But I also know that from that journey, many times things happen that you want to talk to somebody about it and there's not that many people you can talk to. Yeah. And I had and still have a few friends in the industry and very few of them could you talk to. I had one brethren, still have one brethren, good brethren of mine. If you listen to a podcast, you've heard him, Ryan Strong. Mm-hmm. Also a guy who likes sports heavily. United fan, but I won't hold that against him.
I'm around Chelsea fans all the time, which is pretty sad. Yeah,
that's rough for those. Well, anyway, let me not talk about football because I can't talk there, right? What I will say, however, is that in the space, there are not many people I heard saying the things that I knew I see in front of me, and not many people I hear giving advice in a real way, right? What I heard a lot of was the rehash stuff, the stuff you can Google and hear, but nobody was saying, yeah man, that's great, but here's how it works for Jamaica. So after a while of balling, I say, yeah, let me start doing it. Let me start telling people about it. People always come, people know me, my friends know me, and after it got so hard, I say, you know what, let me put together a website and send people. So if you ask me about how to start, where to go, let me just put together a website and send people.
Which is everymickle.com.
Yeah, everymickle.com. Every Mickle make a muckle.
Obviously, on that website, you said, one of the blogs, I don't save, you shouldn't either.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that to my athletes and all my listeners.
Your listeners there. Well, it's different for people generally, but for athletes, there's a special dispensation. Athletes and artists, I find there's a special dispensation. But generally, the point is, I don't save, meaning just like many people, I have to one of those goal savers. Like if I want a car, and I say I'm going to save the car deposit, it's 100 grand you want to put on for the car deposit, I can save towards that. You see, when I get 100 grand, it have to go to the car deposit or something else is going to take it up. Yeah? Right. I respect the people who can go, I just saving for saving's sake. I need a goal in order to save. And even then it's difficult for me, right? And I know lots of people like that. So I started to think, where's the advice of people like me? For that specific post about I don't save and you shouldn't either. It's not to say that people shouldn't put down their money. You should put down money for the rainy day. Grandma wasn't wrong. But we've been told for years, my entire life, that, you know, the secret to wealth is that you should save your money and put down for a rainy day. And when you're old and you're rich and you can retire, you know, you enjoy the money. And it just never sat well with me. I'm like, why would I wait until I'm 64? No, this is anybody 64. Why would I wait until I'm in my 60s, my 70s before I can enjoy my life, do anything, right? Or why should I always be putting away money with just the emergency in mind? You know, what about life? And I started looking at it, and the truth is, people have money, don't do that. Not that they don't just do that, but I said to people, look at what you're doing with your money. Look at where you want to go and see if what you're doing actually makes sense. Truth is, a savings account in Jamaica, I don't have the most current numbers in front of me. But as last I checked, I think up to the middle of this year, and the average return on a savings account was 0.64%. That means if you give the bank $100 in January, at the end of the year, they're going to give you back 64 cents minus tax.
and the bank is going to take that money that you give them and probably invest it somewhere.
Most definitely
invest it. And get a higher return.
Most definitely a higher return. most definitely a higher return. The banks do almost every... The banks do a lot of things that we do on the stock market and things that other people can do. The bank make that money. So all I say to people is that, listen, The saving thing that we learned about is not quite how it works. Not that you shouldn't put away money, but the important part isn't putting it away. The important part is where you put it away. And where you put your money away is of vast importance, and more important than just the fact of putting it away. So you put it in the right place, you can get some proper growth out of it. So I'm not telling anybody I'm going to turn a millionaire or a billionaire overnight.
Right.
But put your money in the right place and it can yield you the dreams that you've heard about, the dreams that you want. And it can yield you that very, very quickly if you think about it sometimes, yeah.
Let me just go to some specific now. Let's say athlete A, he gets a contract now and, you know, he's going to get a payout. Say for the life of the year, that retainer contract is going to be $100,000.
For the year.
For the year. And the athlete knows that out of that, they're not going to be really spending a lot of money, but they need to try and figure out what to do with it. What are some of the pointers they may want to take into consideration in terms of not necessarily just a savings, as you rightly put it, but ensuring that they still have, you know, relatively good money there and there's some return on investment for them, not just putting all the money on the ground?
Yeah, all right. Well, earlier I'd said to you that, you know, things I find are a little different for artists and athletes, yeah, those two classes, because one, they make money, but they don't always make it steadily.
That's correct.
And two, they have the potential to make big money and then they have vast waits of time where maybe not happening, right? Mm-hmm. Now, we know Bolt when him at the Olympics, but we don't know Bolt with him training a year and a half quietly before for that, right? Yeah, I mean, we always know Bolt, but we know Bolt, we don't know the 20 other people on the team who maybe they don't have Bolt status, but they have to make money, same people have to live.
Yeah.
So for those people, I tend to say, and one, and I give very unorthodox sounding advice, but I can tell it's good advice.
Yeah, good point, yeah, as we call it.
There we go. So my unorthodox advice right off the bat, if I had that athlete, 100 grand they get in a year, 100 grand US a year, and they don't have to spend out of it, so, or they don't have to spend too heavily out of it.
Yeah, well, let's say that that athlete is going to, you know, spend 20% in terms of just expenses, hardcore recurring expenses for the year.
Mm-hmm. So they know that they have 80% of that 100 or 80,000 US to put down somewhere, right? No, right off the bat, you're not putting it down. If you're an athlete, you have to remember that you live almost dangerously, meaning you make your money from what your body can do, and doing what your body can do, you can get injured in 1 month. You can get injured in training before the big day, and you can get injured in such a way, God forbid, but you can get injured in such a way that you can never do what you do for a living again, right? With that in mind, you shouldn't be scared, but you should plan around it. So I would tell that athlete, well, step one, the second you get signed or even before you get signed, you need to be just doing, you don't have to be a business major. I'm not telling them what them have to be a big business major. Just sensible things. If you know if you run a shop, if you know if you used to sell CD in class, sweetie, you know enough about business. So one thing you need to know about the continuity of what them call continuity of income. Money needs to keep coming in. So that artist, that I'm saying artist, but it works for both. That athlete needs to, one, talk to a business manager. They need to get somebody on them team. One of the things I respect, I've mentioned both a lot, but one of the things I respect about Bolt from early, from long before I ever in this space, was asking just people who know him or know about him and hearing right off the bat that the man have somebody behind him with him have a money manager. Every athlete needs somebody like that. Maybe you can't afford a big heavy one, but you need to have a good relationship with the people who have your money. Or if you think you're good enough to have your money on your own, then you need to have a set, steady plan. If you're going to do it on your own or somebody doing it, here's the things you need to look for. Some of your income needs to be put down for the long term, meaning the just in case money. Yeah. Right, little. If you have kids, if you have anything like that, you need a life insurance. If you're making bigger money, you get into the realm now of where you can speak to an insurance company about protecting you. So if you lose your job, if you get injured in such a way that you can no longer do your job, there are insurance policies that can pay. You know, those might be too expensive. So maybe just a regular guy, get a bus today and you want to know what to do. One, somebody have to be there with your money. Somebody have to be on top of your money, and then you need to be on top of what they are doing with your money. So no, me trust my money manager. When it comes to the money, trust only yourself, and then don't trust that either. Second guess, if you're second guessing yourself, you should second guess everybody else. I can tell you this from the stories that you've read. The people have lost money, the stars have lost money. They never do it because it's somebody they don't know come in and thief it out. It's usually somebody close to them, somebody where you grow with, somebody family or come with you from a long time. Trust the people on your team. But it's a trust, but verify.
Yeah,
them tell them do a transfer, I understand. End of the week, them if it, when them do a transfer, you should be copied on the email. When you're in a hotel room in Sydney or wherever, check and make sure you have the email. Even if you don't understand it, make sure you see it. Send it to a friend who you do trust and ask them what them say. Send it to a next friend who you don't trust and ask them what them say and see if the two things collide, right? That's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. Not to say you must be crazy and don't trust people, but when it comes to money, if family will sell each other out, there's no question for friends, right? And when it comes to athletes, they make big money very quickly.
Yeah,
that's the number one. Know your money, know who's on top of it, right? Two, put something down for the long term. No, I said don't save. So that means you need to put your money in something that is relatively safer, part of the money in something that's relatively safer and will be there long after it, no matter what. I talk about stocks a lot. In my life, if I'm talking to somebody who is going to go only in stocks, I would tell them that safe money needs to go in one of those big companies that are not going anywhere. You know, companies that everybody knows, household names, the Seprad, the Grace, the NCB, which I talk about all the time. I talk about them all the time. Those big banks. Carreras has been around for years. People who put the money in Carreras for years have made heavy money off dividends. So a section needs to go into that. So you can say 30%. So we know them using 20% to them expenses. Another 30% put on for the long term. So half of the money is spent already. 20% you know you're going to be taking out. The other 30%, something long term, whether it be a pension plan. And that's something major that athletes should have. We're part in a pension plan and the rest in a long-term stock or something. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to them about that. Other 50% of that money now, you might want to look on that for yourself as your growth opportunity, right? So you now have 50,000 US that you're saying, okay, what is here? What can happen with this? Now, that doesn't mean you must go and go wild with it either, right?
Yeah.
In fact, some people listen to this might say you should put 60% of your money in a pension or whatever. That percentage is up to you, how you feel and what your money manager tell you. But I would tell you, say 20% in you're spending, 30%, 30,000 US goes into it every year. So if every contract you sign to during that year, fling 30% into that slow, long-term thing that will pay you well. A good dividend stock is one of those things. If you, the other 50% now you want to make some money off, that now I would tell you to look for building what I call bigger opportunities. So maybe it's as simple as you put that 50%, I'm very careful when I say this, maybe you put that 50% in an IPO, but you don't put in the 50% in the IPO to take it out next week. First, you have to understand the company that's IPO in. If you don't understand it, you don't have a time. I tell people read the prospectus. If you don't get it, have your money manager read it and tell you what's good, whatever. That money manager needs to be you understanding money, that your money, your ideal money manager should be a copy of you, but with how you understand whatever your sport is, they need to understand money that way and should be able to explain it to you, right? So if you take something going on IPO and they say, listen, we think this is good. So let's say, for example, Mailpack just listed.
Yeah.
Mailpack.
Open and
say,
close
okay,
in no time. Yeah?
Open and close in no time. Same thing with Lumber Depot, right?
Lumber Depot.
But if you are an athlete putting your money into that, you should be looking to take it out next week, right? You should be putting it in there to say, listen, this is the first time this company is coming to the market and I am putting my foot in there now because I'm going to leave it until maybe middle of my career, end of my career. That's the best thing. The money that you can put down and forget. Now, somebody might be saying, what's the difference between that and the 30% long-term that you recommended before? The difference is that you can add to that money in that company. You might get rapid growth out of that money. So again, hopeful here, but they said that 50% went into the Mailpack IPO and for whatever reason, it doubles in no time. Maybe that athlete could say, I'm taking out the doubled 50%. I'm leaving part in there. I'm taking out this. Now you have an extra 50,000 US, not to bruff, not to go crazy with, but to again say, okay, every time I get some big money, what's the first rule? We put in 30% into my safety, into my savings, into my long term, and I'm making a decision on what to do with the rest, right? Oh. So those three things I find to be key to any financial journey, especially for artists and athletes. One, the person on top of your money needs to be you, but them need to understand money the way you understand your blessing, your gift.
Yeah.
Second thing is that you need to put something down, believe it or not, for the rainy day, but not in a savings account, mm-hmm. right? They need to be showing you something good, something safe, and something that turn in money, right? I would say right now, again, I speak in 2019. Let me go back in time. 2019. But I speaking in 2019, and I think if you have something I would call steady or growth, this should be able to give you something that can 5% a year, maybe, right? If they're giving you something guaranteed, so I don't tell you it's a 3% bond or something.
Yeah.
That guaranteed amount shouldn't switch, right? If you're going below 5%, everything below 5%, my rule of thumb should be a guaranteed amount. So if I'm going 4.5%, you have to guarantee me, so I'm not losing the money, and you guarantee me 4.5% every year.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just my rule of thumb personally, right? Yeah. Now in 2019. There was a time when it was higher, right, and there were times when it was lower, right? So right now, as markets are buoyant all over, in Jamaica to market buoyant, the steady money is not that high. You're getting things 2%, 1.5% thereabouts, right? But I tell anybody, my personal rule of thumb right now, if you're going under 5%, you need to be guaranteed money. Whether it be a dividend pay, whether it be a dividend or whatever. Mm-hmm. The financial advisor will tell you that. And the third part, that extra 50% you have left, mm-hmm. throw it in something exciting, but watch it. Yeah? Throw it in something exciting, but watch it. And it might mean that you say to your financial advisor, okay, the other 50%, find me stocks or find me some exciting things. But it should also be safe.
How do athletes or just general persons listening this podcast try to ensure that, okay, it's going in something exciting, which means that a lot of risk there.
Increase risk.
Yeah. How do I ensure that, you know, I protect myself? I mean, there's always a risk of losing everything, but how do I ensure that, okay, I'm not just leaving it there
to just
wither away?
So here's the hard part, right? That people don't like hearing it, but it's the truth. There is no easy answer. You're going to have to be on top of it. You're going to have to, like I said, you have the money manager, so it's their job to be on top of it. So it's your job to make sure you're on top of your money manager. It don't necessarily mean every day in them neck, but it means that if it's once a week or once for the month, or a month shouldn't pass and you don't talk to your money manager. Madness. Because the money manager might start feeling like it's their money. Yeah, so, and a good sign of a good money manager is if you don't talk to them for a week or two, they should be linking you immediately, right? Them shouldn't be forgetting about you. You need to feel like priority, especially if you're an athlete.
Because
you know how it goes as an athlete. You might go somewhere, you're gone for 3 weeks. Yeah, if you're gone to a big meet somewhere and you're gone 2 weeks ahead of the date because you have to train 2 weeks and then the meet itself is another week. So you're gone 3 weeks. During that time, your money man just should be messaging you and giving you updates. Second thing, don't be ashamed. And I find this happens a lot with athletes. Don't be ashamed or afraid because the money manager might sound fancy and boy, I don't want to look like I don't know what I do. The number one question I tell people, I keep events too, I tell people the same thing. If you shame, at my events, I have an opportunity for them to put it in anonymously. But if I'm paying you as a money manager, that payment is for my shame. So I want to ask you, what's a stock? Ask the money manager, what's a stock? Right. What's a share? Ask him, what's a share? Ask him why, it's the same thing, by the way. Ask him why it goes up and down, them should be able to tell you. What my money in right now, them should be able to tell you. How my money stay today, them should be able to tell you. Don't worry about an answer either. You're paying them for your money, let them be annoyed. It was the same thing yesterday. No, what changed today? Is it changed today? Show me. Prove for your man. Any given time, be on top of your money. Because, and it's very important for an athlete, because your attention is not there. So whenever you, if it's 1 day a week you take, or 1 day, 2 weeks, or once a month, that day when it's my money day, sit down and I should end that day understanding where I am. Mm-hmm. If it's too complex, and I'm say, boy, kind of complex, money manager business, that is his job to prepare, because next week, Thursday, is Randy's money day, and next week Thursday I need to have all of these complex things simplified, because all him know is running, or all him know is fighting, all him know is football. So you're going to have to simplify it and show. But end of the day, how much money you're putting in, how much money you're getting out, and the difference between those two should be up. And if it's not going up, it should be down. And even if it go up, the question is, how much did it go up by? Second question, why? And if you want, you can add a third question. So suppose I'm telling you, say it go up 3%, and your next athlete brethren said, why my portfolio go up 10%? And you don't say you and him on the same contract. Next question is, how him got 10 and me the 5? And the money manager should have a sensible answer for you and should explain why him got 10 versus your 5. And if you really want that 10, what you need to do.
No, continue.
Yeah, no, I know the money manager might have an issue with it, but I feel like that's their fault because you're in the business, right? So, like when I hold my events and people are there, I tell them all the time, ask me whatever you think you need to pressure me, because you pay your money. It's not a big thing. It's not on Twitter. On Twitter I can answer, I don't answer, right? But the second you pay me, ask. And I tell every athlete, I say to anybody, but I say specifically to the athletes and the artists, pressure them, because in 10 years when people say, boy, look how Randy did big and can't see him there after 3, I walk, you know, money manager not going to be there to walk beside you, right? Yeah, and you're going to say, boy, XYZ run with my money. That's your problem. It's your responsibility to ensure that your money is handled well, and you don't have to be an accountant to do it. You just have to pressure the money manager.
All right. So, not recently, but over the past few years, our JC has been going really well.
Ones. Yeah, man.
And part of that also, we have seen a lot of public offerings, whether it's IPO or APO.
Rights issues, all kinds of things.
All kind of things coming out. You know, and people are getting really excited about this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of young people too are starting to just invest. Some are just investing because they hear that they're going to get good money same time.
Yep.
Which you have said in your podcast that people have to be careful no matter what in terms of what public offering you're going to be investing.
Yep.
And you've talked about prospectus and all of these lovely terms. Talk to us about some of those pointers for, I mean, this is the same for athletes as for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's the same for anybody. athletes just have to be more careful because of the trust. But yeah, but it's the same thing. So for IPOs, and the market has been very buoyant. Since 2015, I think people have said that the market has jumped. It's actually later than 2015 if you follow it. But what happened in 2015 was that Red Stripe delisted. Red Stripe sold and went private again. Yeah. However, what people need to look at when they're looking at a prospectus is, I give the very simple tips that people pay me money for, so you won't get the details unless you come back to it.
Right,
number one, you have to know what the company
does.
I'll
sell Oshika and then she tells me.
So you have to know. No, people do a lot of that, you know. You know, I have a lot of women
really?
At every single class. My classes are about 90. I think I worked out one time it was 93% female. Mm-hmm. Because the women come because women care about their money. And then the men who do care send the women.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, Roshika is hearing that to us. I'll ask my producer, Roshika, to come to your next event and then she'll pass on the information.
Well, I will tell anybody sending somebody the same thing I told the athletes earlier, a couple seconds ago. Be on top of your money manager. So if you're sending her, because we got women come and them learn them, go, wow. And I often wonder if the guys who send them learn what they learn at that class.
No.
Anyway.
Okay. In terms of the IPO and the prospectus,
Okay. So what you need to do for anything is look at the company itself, know the company, know what the company actually do for money, right? Not what them say them do for money, but what them actually do for money. And I always use one example. I use it here all the time. I can use two. I usually use Grace. So ask, what does Grace do for money? Everybody know Grace Foods, right? Mm-hmm. But if you go deep into Grace actually made most of the money from MoneyGram, Money Transfer, right? And people want to think that NCB's biggest part of NCB is not the bank. Sometimes the bank doesn't even make a profit. The biggest part of NCB is NCB Cap Markets. That's the part that really floats it, right? Mm-hmm. So understanding those little things makes sense. And for you looking on, if you go into a prospectus, why I say it makes sense is, again, the greatest example, if you hear that, boy, Jamaicans buying less food, that's bad for everybody. It's bad for Grace. But if you hear Jamaicans' remittance is going down, that really hitting Grace, right? Versus the food. Mm-hmm. So just understanding what a company actually does for money and how the things affect that is number one, right? And that does mean going into the numbers, the figures, if you don't know it, that's where the money manager or the friend or my class or any of the myriad things online can help you there. All I can tell you as somebody who started out hating numbers too is that it's not as hard as you think. But I know you're not going to believe me until you do it, but that's fine. Next thing you need to think about, the universe. I call it, I call move up. So I'll do it for people to remember. MVVUP. Mm-hmm. So let me start over. M, money. We know what them actually do for money. V, know how they're viewed. That mean know how the industry view it. Ask your money manager, what you think about XYZ company? Mail pack at least, what you think about mail pack? Why you think that about mail pack? How them numbers actually say, you should get that new that thing, right? Know how they're viewed by not just your money manager, but also the industry, the wider industry. What am I say about it at JMB? What am I say about it at NCB? Look online. So the guys online are saying, people like me online on Twitter, see what I'm saying about it. If I'm saying it's good or it's bad, or the other, there are a whole heap of people there that can follow. So you can pay attention, right? So know how they're viewed. Next V, know how they're valued. That's a money manager thing, or for people of a little bit more expertise. There are many ways to value a company. Won't go too deep into it, but one of the easiest ones for anybody is PE. The PE called the price to earnings ratio, right?
Yeah.
And that's a number that all the brokers can tell you very quickly. A money manager should tell you and explain it. But essentially, it is the price of the stock on any given day versus its last 12 months earnings per share on any given day, right? And all it does is divide the price by that earnings per share or EPS. The market usually likes numbers between 10 and 18. These days, we've gone all the way up to 20 or 23, I think, up to today it was 23 or 24 in terms of the average PE on the market. And PE is not like regular numbers. PE, generally speaking, the lower is generally better and the higher is generally worse. But it's not the be all and end all. Right. But my point is to know how it's valued. Something that your money manager can help you with. Now that's MVV. The up, UP, simple. U is the universe. So know how it's going, know what's going on in the universe fight. JPS right now, you're seeing having a whole heap of blackouts, what I tell you. Them can't supply enough of the demand.
Right.
I don't know if them can't supply the demand, I mean they have to go generate more power. A company like Wigton, a company like MPC, Caribbean Clean Energy, generating power. You know, JPS can't stop using them, man, because now we don't even have enough and you're doing it without oil, so I need you, right? So things like that matter. Know what's happening in the universe. If JPS said, boy, we have excess capacity, you watch news on ASA, man, I say, I have excess capacity. you know, say, wow, them going to start cut down them things, so maybe we have to worry. But right now, them don't have enough. So little things like that, little things that anybody can understand, right? And then the P, of course, is the last one. So MVV, you, the universe, and the P is know what their plans are. And in that same prospectus, they tell you what their plans are. They tell you what they plan to do. Mail Pack, as an example, again, actually had projected earnings for, I think, the next 5 years. And not every prospectus has projected earnings, but they do tell you their plans. And they have to tell them using the money for. Sometimes we use the money to clear off our debt, which can allow us to expand. So move up. I'll say it one more time just for your listeners. M is the money. V, because MVVUP. Yes, it don't spell correctly. I'm sorry. Sorry, English teachers. But yeah, M is the money. V is know how they're viewed. Next V is know how they're valued. The U is to understand the universe in which they exist. So know what them competitors are doing, know what they are doing internally, so on and so forth. You can know that from news or anything. And they often tell you, and the last one is their plans, is where they often also tell you what their plans are. What we plan to do. Sometimes Lasco will tell you, say, Wisinko does this. Wisinko build a big warehouse, big brand new warehouse. Mr. Mafood no fool. If not build a warehouse and not have nothing enough to sell, right? So if you build a big warehouse, you know, say 6 months to a year, the warehouse full of things that sell whenever they sell last year, which means sales going up, chance of profit going up. Those five things can help guide you.
And part of it though, even though we you know, a lot of persons try to get, and some have oversubscribed in terms of the initial public offering or the APO, you can also buy on the dates listed. You can try to get at other points, right? So it's not like you have to get it. Just say you missed out on the glorious price that it was going at the initial stage, right? You can still try to get
on
shares at later point, can't you?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's a good point to tell people. People often think that, listen, boy, I hear about the IPO and the IPO date is next week, Friday. And whatever reason you miss it, it closes same time. So Mail Pack is a good example. Yeah. Open on the day, close on the day. So right, if you want to take it next Monday, may I get the money, I'm not going to know where to go. You haven't missed out. When a company has an IPO, yes, there's a point at which it closes. There's a little gap while them go through them paperwork and stuff, and then it lists on the actual stock market. Mm-hmm. If you truly love that company, and you should be buying, especially for an athlete who you're not watching it every day at that time. So an athlete needs to be looking, I would say, without knowing the athlete personally, at a minimum of a year or 2 or 3 years, right? A good athlete should be looking 3 to 5 years down the line. If you are looking along that point of view, and you are going to pick the company because of 2 to 3 years on the line, you or your money manager look on it. If you miss the day, the money manager must tell you, all right, I think we can still buy it on the market. Maybe it's coming out at $1 on IPO day, you miss that. But when it lists, I can get it at $1.50 and say, boy, I'm going to buy it at $1.50. List your money manager then, right? Because maybe you don't buy it at $1.50, then you don't buy it at $2, then you don't buy it at $3, then you don't buy it at $4. But list your money manager there, but don't be afraid just because you missed one day. There's always another train leaving the station. There's always something good coming.
Which is a very important point, because not even an advisor, but a lot of people always feel that if they miss that closing for the initial public offering or the
APO, it just doesn't make any sense.
And boy, me gone, me lose out, etc.
Exactly. No man, it's still there, man, and it's very important that people know that. For the application process, I have tips I always give people. Treat the opening date like the closing date.
So if you know, sometimes it is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's because of that why I always say that. If you know, say, if them say next week Friday at opening, especially if it's a good attractive company here, people talk about it, those five things I mentioned, all of them going green, everybody excited, apply before it open. It allows you to that, and your money manager should be telling you this and more.
Let me ask you another question then. As you mentioned that, especially for the IPO, APO, etc. Do I need to open a brokerage account, a MA account, or whatever account in every single one out there? Whether it's the Barita, the Mayberries, the JMMBs,
the
NCBs,
Sagicor, Scotia,
Is it advisable that I open one everywhere? Or can I just have one and then that broker will manage everything for me?
Okay, so, and it's a money manager decision. It's more personalized, but you generally don't need to have more than one. It's not a need. It's like a bank account.
Right.
You don't need to have more than one all over. People open them all over for all kinds of reasons. But an athlete, don't stress yourself more than you need to. Stress your money manager.
Right.
But I would tell you, open one place and pay close attention to the one that you open. Yeah.
Okay.
Pay attention to that one. You don't need a bunch of them. Now, if you're doing it to regular people on your own, have their reasons. When them have those IPOs, sometimes I know you're going to be oversubscribed. Then we open 12 brokers, them open one at every brokerage account and put in 12 applications. If you have the time to that, chances are you're not an athlete. Or maybe you're an athlete on vacation. But yeah, for a regular athlete, you don't necessarily need to do that. Just get one, pay attention to your money manager. If your money manager tells you, say, listen, open two or three, hit them with that important question. Why?
There was a big debate on social media. Mm-hmm. And you're on social media, RT Rowe.
On Twitter.
Twitter. Where there was a lead broker, and a lot of persons were saying that lead broker, they're with another brokerage company, and that company sending them elsewhere, asking them to fill out the form and don't want to take their application. Is that something that's problematic? Is that something where people should really force their brokers to do it, or should I just try and just open more than one?
Boy, you know? As for regular people, I'll tell you this. If you're an athlete, chances are you'll find out that you don't have the same problems as everybody else, right? But for regular people, what I would say is...
Yeah, because on this podcast, you have the athletes, you have sport administrators.
You have a whip of regular folk.
You have Chelsea fans. I think they'll stop listening at some point. But
I feel bad. I feel bad as a football fan, former football fan. I feel bad every time Chelsea fans get listed.
You're not a Liverpool fan. Big up all the Liverpool fans who are listening to this podcast.
I mean, no, but okay.
You'll never walk alone.
Yeah, well, okay.
But that was a concern I recognized that was happening, a discussion that was happening on social media, certainly on Twitter.
Let me be careful with what I say. Let me be responsible to what I say. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, as far as I'm aware, and as far as my personal experience with every broker that I have my accounts with, you only need the one. Mm-hmm. Now, if, let's say you are a broker and you are carrying an IPO, right? And my broker says, oh, boy, don't send the application to us. Send it to Dalton. Mm. Yeah, my broker would be crazy. Don't tell me that. I pay you money. Is there, I tell you, the athlete to go on a money manager. My broker, I pressure them same way. Don't tell me that. If you tell me, if you are going to apply for Dalton's IPO, the cutoff date is, Dalton's cutoff date is Friday. Our cutoff date is Wednesday. I understand that. That's fine, all right? And I'm putting you out of your way. But if you're telling me, no, we're not the ones doing it, go to Dalton. No, I don't pay you to tell me to go somewhere else. And I'll say to everybody else, the people with the big money do not get sent there. And the money people do not get sent there. And I don't get sent somewhere else. And I'm not a big money person, right?
There you go. Yeah. Well, probably I got sent because I'm not a big person. I'm just a small...
I think what happens is...
It didn't happen to me though, by the way.
Yeah.
But I know that it happened.
It does happen. And I think it shouldn't happen. I know it shouldn't happen. But also on the flip side, I know what happens inside the brokerages. It's just... In the same way, I can know the money manager might have a bad thing happening in his life, but I am not going to tell the athlete that, boy, understand that your money manager had a rough time with his bills, so he to take a little bit of your money. I sympathize with the money manager, but wrong is wrong. Same way, I sympathize with the brokerages, but wrong is wrong. What is happening currently is that because the investing space has gotten so popular so quickly, a lot of people are coming in, and everybody coming in, everybody wants to get a good, as they should, you want to get a good advisor, you want to get the best treatment because it's your money and you deserve it. But the reality is that the houses just haven't built up their staff quickly enough for that. And it takes time to build them up, and not just build them up, because you have to hire people, vet people, hire them, and then you have to train them, make sure them know them talking about before them can go out. The houses aren't there yet, and I think some houses just take the shortcut and say, boy, this pressure, and you know what? If we not do it, send them over, so.
Randy, let me ask you a question. As an athlete, or manager, or sport administrator, I would have known that the financial sector had a collapse before.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have known that the markets in the US
have collapsed
before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And will again.
And how do I know that the Jamaican market won't collapse very soon?
All right, so this is more of a finance question. Don't finish, I don't know if you're done.
Well, I kind of finished because one of the questions, sometimes I asked this and people said, well, you know, because companies are doing well in Jamaica. And I said, well, yeah, but the figures can be manufactured also.
All right, well, I won't say figures are manufactured. It's a very, very big
deal. I'm not saying
deal.
That it is manufactured.
No, I get you.
I said it can be.
And what I always say to that is that it's a very, very big deal if it's manufactured. So listed companies have such a burden of responsibility on them, that manufacturing number is a big, big deal, right? I've only ever once seen where there is an issue, and how you can know that is every company has to be audited externally. No, people can say, oh yeah, but you can buy out auditor. I'm not going into that. That is jail for a whole heap of people.
Yeah, but I won't say it on my podcast because I can't manage a lawsuit either.
Yeah, so that's jail for a whole heap of people. Audited numbers are things that are trusted, and the auditors have not just their reputations on the line, but believe there is some fiduciary responsibility, what they call financial responsibility.
Randy, all of these, we have tightened up on that bit with many other financial obligations.
Yeah.
But all of that people have been putting a lot of these in place, certainly in the US to protect their market, and it still crashes.
All right, so let me separate the two things.
Think it's going to crash again at some point.
Let me be clear.
In terms of the long term, markets go up and down in the long term,
and market crashes, I believe, are part of the running of any market, right? So at some point, maybe not the Jamaican, maybe not the US, maybe somewhere else, something will crash. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable, but we don't know when. I don't think it's tomorrow for Jamaica or the US. Certainly not for Jamaica. Anyway, I want to separate the two things. One, the crash from the rightness of the market. So a crash happened. So like the last one we know about, 2007 and 2008 in America, mortgage crisis. What happened is that people were buying houses they couldn't afford, essentially. That bad debt got bundled with other things, they call it derivatives, complicated stuff. However, at the end of the day, there are people who made money in it, and two, there are people who came through it okay. Of course, lots of people got burned. But what's the difference between coming through it okay or getting burnt? One, being on top of your money. Two, being on top of your money manager if you're not on top of your money yourself. And three, not being afraid to pull out and go to safer things, right? A good money manager is supposed to link you and say, listen, things going hectic in the market right now, not sure what's going on. I am saying let's pull out and go to cash. I am saying let's put it in something safe and leave it. That sort of thing is part of it. Now, the first question you asked me was, why does it happen? It happens because oftentimes there are failings. You never know. The financial markets grow and change, and there's always, as you patch a hole, somewhere else is a hole developing that you don't really know until it happens, right? Mm-hmm. Will I tell people that it'll never happen here? No. However, it doesn't happen overnight, even though it seems that way in retrospect. It doesn't happen overnight. There are always signs, and those signs are heeded by the sensible. So you don't have to be a cutting edge on top of things. The cutting edge people run, then the people who look at the cutting edge people go, wait, why are you running? And the cutting edge people say, boy, this don't make sense. And they look on it and they say, okay, I'm going to kind of go out. And then you, as somebody who might not have been in finance at all, get protected by the people who are paying attention to those things, right? To make it very, very simple for the people, be on top of your money management from the jump. I remember how I said they build up that portfolio.
Yeah.
You put a 30% in something safe that will outlast. Those things are the things that survive, right? Even if the economy crash, a company that survives that has its debt to pay will continue to pay its debt. It'll pay you the 2 or 3% and you might say, boy, it's a good thing my other car that did save me, right? Other assets, you diversify to manage risk. And if you are an athlete, if you cannot spend all the time paying attention to your money, then you have to diversify to manage your risk. People who can spend the time on it and they have a lot of money don't need to diversify as much as those who don't have as much time and have more money. Right, so if you're an athlete and you know, say half of the year you're not here, but your money is here, make sure it's diversified. So maybe insurance crash, but housing didn't crash with it, right? Or maybe housing crash, but vehicle sales still went good. Maybe stocks crash, but bonds didn't. Maybe stocks and bonds crash, but you still own a good piece of land somewhere, right? And you're making a rental off it. Diversifying, all kind of things. It don't always have to be standard stuff. Maybe you're the athlete who made extra $50,000 US in 1 year. And you say, you know what? May I take $25,000 out of the US and may I give my cousin who build up the shop? May I give it and I own 20% or I own 50% of that shop? And make your money manager stay on top of him. Because anywhere your money is, your money manager needs to be there also. Yeah, man. So diversification is the thing that helps you with that kind of risk in the event that something like that happened. Going back to the first one about, you know, things might be off in these companies or numbers created. I can't say what I don't see. What I can say is that within the Jamaican market, we have had the, I won't say good luck, because we've had the fortune to have the FSC that has been very strong on what they do. And the FSC has been on top of it. I've only ever seen one case on the local stock market that was surprising. And as of today, the person I think who was leading that thing had to resign from everything and leave. That's the only case I've ever seen.
Listen, so, I mean, you're giving some advice for some of our athletes. Let me just say it this way. Mm-hmm. So the car that they buy immediately, or two or three cars.
Madness.
Diverse portfolio. They buy two, three cars, I mean, as the first, or as they get the contract.
Yeah.
or the shoes, the family member in country,
Everybody
rent a property, a house, and throw a big party, whether or not people whether I make money, it doesn't matter. Isn't that dive? I mean, I get you're talking about investing. Isn't that a part of investing in?
You know what? I will tell you straight up, braffing is a part of investing. It makes sense if you can't braff. But hear what? Don't confuse braffing with investing, right? You hold a big party with your friends. You decided to spend some money. Don't pretend that the party with your friends was good. You buy your bridge in a car, you know him for years. You know him for years. Cool, that's a gift. It's not an investment.
Yeah.
If him tell you, so I'm going to tell the car and run taxi, then it's an investment, and him do have to talk to you, have to talk to your money manager.
Yeah.
Be the best advice I can give an athlete, whether starting out or now, be on top of your money manager, and your money manager need to be on top of your money. Anyway, you put your money. And if any of your friend them say, boy, more you lend me the $2 million, but I can't bother deal with your little money brethren around there, because I'm there and I'm neck too much. I can't bother. That friend don't mean you well. You have to say, yeah, I know I'm annoying, you know, but I pay him to be annoying. Yeah. Yeah. So the two car, as you get the contract, I can't tell a man not to bruff, but here what? Two cars, you get the contract. If it not bringing you money, if it not bringing in money, if it not keeping your money safe, it's not income. It's a spend. It's an expense. Yeah. So I'm going to tell people, say a house is not expense. It's not income. If you buy the property and put it down, fine. But understand how much money it's bringing in. If it's not bringing in money to you, then it's an expense. It's not an asset.
So my producer, who is well read and learned, she ensured that I ask. She said that the stock market, the stock exchange, was recently named world best performing stock market by Bloomberg.
Yes.
So she then wanted to know, what are some of the steps you'd advise athletes to take if they're interested in tapping into the stock market?
And I think they should. One, it allow them to own something better than, but yeah, your big tip. You see the bridge, you don't want a car, don't buy him a car. If it's $1 million car that I buy him, tell the millionaire buy him $1 million stock and give him it. If him get $1 million worth of stock, up to him what he want to do it. Cause you just set them up for life, yeah? The depreciating asset don't make sense. You want to get into the stock market, which is the best in the world. People take that as a light thing, you know. It's not a light thing, it's more than 1 year we'll pull it off. Yeah, it's not a light thing.
Yeah.
You want to get into it, one, you're going to need a broker. You need a really, really good broker. There are great brokers out there. Some specialize in bigger money clients. Mayberry specialize in bigger money clients. GK Capital specialize in bigger money clients. Some specialize in the regular people. You can come in with $5,000 or any amount. NCB does that. JMB does that. Yeah. Sagicor does that. Those people do that, right? Pick the broker that works with you. But before we reach a broker, the first thing you're picking is a money manager. If you don't have a money manager, feel free to walk into a brokerage house and they should be able to help you and explain things in a way that you understand completely. You need a broker to buy stocks. If you don't know nothing about stocks still and you have the brokerage account and boy, they might give me advice on me, you know, buy for the long term. Then there are things that you can buy that will always be around. The big company I mentioned before, NCB, Sagicor, so on, will be around. But you have other things you can buy, like indexes or Sagicor Select Fund, right? Which tracks the entire financial index in Jamaica. As long as financial companies in Jamaica make money and them share price go up, that stock will follow those companies' share price. It should. It's expected to, right? So in the long term, indices or indexes almost always go up. I have no doubt about something like Select Fund over the next 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. If I got $100,000 from Nike right now as a contract, yeah, man. 30,000 what I would have got in a Select Funds immediately, or Select M, which is a new one that's also in the market right now. Yeah, the IPO is still, well, the prospect is still open. You can apply Sagicor. Yeah, so Sagicor has Select Funds, which tracks the financial index, Select F,
right?
And then now have Select M, I'll call it, which is for the manufacturing. And you can buy companies there, and you can also buy the individual companies themselves. NCB not going anywhere for the next 10 to 15, trust me, anywhere but up.
I was about to say they're going somewhere but
up. Man, Wisinko, they're not going anywhere but up also. Wisinko has made billions off the local market and now they're looking outside, they're looking to the Caribbean. That's a great thing. The financial guys below NCB also doing great to improve access, small loans. Barita doing great things as the new young guys come in and start running it in a way that people never think he could have run before, and they're making proper money off doing it. JMB not going anywhere, then buying that big Canadian company which actually owns Sagicor Financial, them not going anywhere anytime soon. And Sagicor Financial for the whole Caribbean, yeah? So you can invest in things like that. If you don't know what you're doing, you can invest in a fund or you can invest in a unit trust or whatever. But I think for an athlete or an artist, the most important thing, more than any of those things, is a money manager. Be on top of that person. But that's where the problem always starts.
Yeah. Outside of the markets, what other investments pointers would you give to people who are in sports or just people in general?
People in general.
I mean, whether it's property or, you know.
Simple terms. Don't ever worry about it. You, as a Jamaican, our life has been taught our entire lives that you already know enough to manage money, even though you don't know that you do, right? Mm-hmm. So if whatever you're looking at, the question is simple. How much money do I need to put in? Mm-hmm. They need to tell you. What are you going to use the money that I'm giving you for? And that goes for anybody, meaning your brethren, your family, or a big company, or a private company investing in, or whatever. The third thing is, what am I going to get out of it? How much money am I getting out of it? Yeah, in percentage and dollar figure, the two things. If I get $1 million, you get back $50,000 every year. No, man. Tell me it in percentage also, right? And then explain to me why that percentage is higher and how you're going to make it and what the money do for. You need to know where your money really going. It's all about the money you put in and what you get on top of it. That's all investing is in, a value increase. How much money I give you and how much more I get in on top of it and how risky it is, yeah? Can I lose it all or is it guaranteed? That's all it is. And investing can be as simple as, it don't have to be stocks. It can be bonds, it can be unit trusts, it can be those things, or it can be the shop on the corner from my auntie. Mm-hmm. May I fix it up, paint it up, my auntie, guess what, I run it. You run it, you take care of everything. I just give you to paint it up and stock it right and give out some flying to the community. And my money manager is going to be on the phone with you every week, right? I just say, go, anything that you can put money in and get the money out plus extra is an investment for you. So think of it that way. How much money I'm putting in, how much more am I getting out, and why?
Awesome. So as we're going to be wrapping up very soon, but you are a columnist.
I do write for the Observer also, the Jamaica Observer, yes.
Which simply means that you're a columnist.
Yeah. I thought to myself as that before, but you're right. I am a columnist.
You are correct. How has that been going though? And is some of the same advice that you do
On my website, every maker. But I try to keep it different. So if somebody read this and those to that, and to be honest, I have not updated my website the way I should. I've been putting so much energy into so much things. It stretched me thin. But here's the thing.
You need to invest in some people to help you.
I do need to invest in some people. Yeah, I need to invest in some time management also, same way. But similar advice. And I try to keep the stuff in the newspaper very open. So can anybody read the newspaper, see it, yeah? So I write in the newspaper about general same things like I'm telling you here, what to invest in, I explain terms. So if something's popular in the market, I'll explain it. I'll explain an index, explain why stocks move, how they move. I pretty much act like somebody's money manager, but I give enough general information that anybody can know.
What news coming out that you want to tell
that I want to share with people?
You want to share, because I know you want to save this for your podcast, but I thought I would still catch you here to ask you.
Give some right.
What new, so that then I don't kill you, so that everybody else don't kill us, so you say it here first, that you think is coming out? Probably look out for this in the next 6 weeks.
The next 6 weeks?
Well, it's closer to Christmas, you may find things start slowing down, eh?
Yeah, well, I have heard a lot of things said about the new highway. It's not new highway, but the highway company that's hopefully listed. I don't know if it will list this year, but if it does, I suspect it will be. Well, we're almost in the middle of November. We're almost at the end of November. Mm-hmm. So it must be in December if it's coming out this year. I can't say if that's good because I haven't seen the prospectus yet, but that's fine. I hope it's good. It's hard for me to give people advice. So you know what? I'm going to give some general advice, right?
Yeah, man. I don't mind that.
What I tell people is when you invest, you start with a goal. So your goal. And then we try and find things that match what your goals are, right? I don't know everybody goes, so I'm going to give something. If I'm looking at something over the next, if I'm putting down my money because I want to get it back in a year, and I'm going to go below a year, I want to get it back in a year, I think that JMB is a nice look personally. I also think that the fund, Select F, is going to be a nice look. NCB, well, I'll save NCB for over 2 years. So within a year, JMB, I think, will be good. Jamaica Producers, people don't talk about them a lot, yeah, but they own St. Mary, this is Banana Chips, they own quite a few things, they also own some stuff in Europe, I think they're nice. The Proven Guys, you can't go wrong with the Young Money, those guys are the latte, the Team Latte, Team Latte doing some serious work out there.
Supporting Team Latte.
Yeah, and they need some serious work out there, you can't go wrong with those guys. Over the 1 year period, QWI, has been given a heavy hit since it IPO'd. For you, if you do not own shares in it already, that could be an opportunity, because it's going to fly, right? Yeah, it is severely undervalued right now, in my personal view, at least 25% undervalued. In a two to five years, boy, that's so easy in 2 to 5 years. Select F, Sagicor. I think Scotia might be very nice over the next 2 to 3 years too. As somebody looking for dividends and safety, Scotia might be very, very attractive. I think there's a company called Cygnus over that time period too. 1 to 3 years. Cygnus is actually undervalued right now. So it's worth maybe $20-something per share. And in my personal view, it should be worth closer to $40 per share. Okay. At some point, people going to notice that. There are companies I'm associated with publicly on the exchange, and I won't say who, because I don't want to touch anything, but I truly believe in those companies, and you would be, in my view, it's a nice company to own also.
I was going to say the last question, but I always do this. You have a dashboard on your website.
I do have a dashboard on my website.
Tell my listeners the purpose of that and why they too can just use your dashboard.
Okay, yes, that's great. And you know what? I'll give you a link to the dashboard so you can include the show notes here, but the dashboard essentially, it just tracks the stocks that you own. So you put your stocks in there, and every day there's a button up top, you hit refresh, and it shows you the current prices. So it shows you the value of all of your stocks, and it shows you how much money you've made or lost on it. And it's just a quick look at what it is. It shows you the breakdown of your portfolio, how much money you put in, how much it's worth now, and what actual stocks made it. So some make 10%, some make 20%, some make whatever. It's a great way to look at it, and it updates every day automatically. As long as you have Microsoft Excel, you hit refresh and you're good to go. I like it. I've been using it for years. I use it personally, and just like so many things, use it personally, start share it with the world, because I found value in it. Yeah, so it's great. And if you have more than one brokerage account, like many people do, then it's a great place to view all of your stocks in one go. Because if you buy it from three different places,
you have to go on their websites.
You just put the three different buys in this file. But when you look on the dashboard and you hit refresh, you see all of your holdings. So if you buy NCB from four different brokers, when you look on the dashboard, you'll see one line of NCB, but the total is your total holdings.
Okay.
I'd update every day. Quick, easy. My explanation is actually more complicated than just using the file. Literally every day I run it, I hit refresh, and it works well. So I hope people find a lot of value in it.
Listen, man, Randy, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Appreciate you stopping by. On behalf of producer Rashika Grant, engineer Andre Sawyers, my program advisor Marsha Boyce, thanks for joining us on this episode of The Drive Phase. Remember to check out our website. It is available. So visit at thedrivephase.com. Make sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Stitcher, so you'll never miss an episode. Remember, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes or any podcasts you use. Go tell a friend about the show so they too can spread the word. Feel free to send feedback, comments, or questions to thedrivephase@gmail.com, or look us up on Twitter or Facebook at thedrivephase, or use the hashtag TDP. Until next time, see you then.